Hey, sit down. There's more.
Hey, listeners, this is Sit Down, There's More by Talk Like a Mother podcast. Today's bonus episode is no reservation style, but not series focused. So sit tight and listen up.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us for Sit Down, There's More. I'm Jamie. I'm going to be taking on this week, and we have decided to continue with our Harry Potter movie watching saga. I hope people are enjoying these episodes. It seems like people are listening to them, so thank you. I think it's fun if you're a Harry Potter fan to hear our interactions. I think it's fun if you're not a Harry Potter fan to hear our interactions, so hopefully this is entertaining. And, you know, maybe you're learning something about the Potter. But we decided to continue on because some of the ladies have gotten a little further ahead and we're all worried about forgetting. So we're talking about it when we can. And yeah, again, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you can, please share it with anyone you know who might enjoy it. Also, whatever platform you are listening on, please remember to rate and review us. We only accept 5-star reviews, but when you do that, it really helps the platforms boost our podcast and hopefully get us out to more people. So we would really appreciate that. Anyway, let's get going.
Okay, here's what I think happens in this movie. I think Harry Potter number 4, Goblet of Fire, begins at the shitties, but he's not in the closet, he's upstairs. And then eventually he gets back to school. And then,
starts at the old man's house.
No. So let me tell you about the Goblet of Fire as far as I can tell. So what happens is, in the Goblet of Fire, he basically gets back to Hogwarts eventually, because who cares about the details surrounding that? This is not part of the movie. So then this big blue cup of fire shows up, and it's supposed to mix up the Powerball, all these people's names that got put in, and then it shoots out what person it thinks should fight in a 3-event, 3 baby wizard, 3 challenge thing, a trifecta the whole time.
Well, I didn't know that it had to be 3 people, so it really wasn't, I wasn't that dismayed.
It's just supposed to be 3 people. It's supposed to be 1 participant from each school. So it's a little more the drama.
That's those blue flame girls, dressed as a blue flame. And then it's those big hairy Russian dressed fellas. Then it's the Hogwarts, which is the only co-ed school.
I woke up and I'm who are all these people?
The blue flames and the big beasts were there. Okay.
Well, because Edward, I was is he from a different school? Cedric. Is he from a different school? I was very confused on who all the contestants were, because, and also that Crunk guy, I'm who the hell is this guy? And I kept thinking he was the guy. Remember in the beginning when they went to that other world? Remember when they went to that other world and it was that big, huge World Cup tournament? I kept thinking, remember there was a boy there that went back with them? It was the guy's son? Who was that? Do you remember?
I'm so confused. I don't even know what you're talking
about. Okay, let's start.
Okay, so this is Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which is book 4.
Book 4.
I'll read a summary of it, so hopefully it helps you guys. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire follows Harry's 4th year at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. The story revolves around the Tri-Wizard Tournament, a magical competition between 3 wizarding schools. Despite being underage, Harry is mysteriously selected as the 4th participant, along with older students from the other schools and 1 student from his school. Throughout the tournament, Harry faces various challenges, including battling dragons, navigating a maze, and rescuing his friends. Meanwhile, he discovers dark forces are at work as the return of the dark wizard Voldemort looms over the wizarding world.
I hate him so much. Just gonna throw that out.
Totally.
Guy.
Why is he so ugly is what I wonder.
Okay, so this movie starts a lot differently than the other ones. The movie, I don't think we're at, I watched the movie a few weeks ago, so I'm going to not remember. It's hard for me to differentiate sometimes the movie from the book. So just correct me if I'm wrong. But it starts at the old man's at home, and he's the caretaker for this large house. So he doesn't live in the large house, he's caretaker. He sees some lights come on, he goes to the large house, and he ends up being killed. But in that house is Wormtail, who is Peter Pettigrew.
Who is a rat?
Who's a rat?
That explains why my note says, why is the rat back?
Because he's Lord Voldemort now. So He has helped the thing that is Lord Voldemort, which is not a human or anything yet. It's just like he's just like a thing. And then Voldemort's snake is in there, and I believe in the movie there's a third person in there.
Yeah,
Or
it's that guy's son.
okay, the guys. Okay, so in the book they do. So that is how the book starts, and then Harry, it wakes up with Harry having that dream at his house, at the Dursleys' house. And then there's this whole thing about like the Weasleys coming to get him. They get stuck in the wall that they think is Fireplace, but that doesn't happen in the movie. In the movie, he wakes up at the Burrow, right? So then that next morning, which this all moves so fast to me, this is always going to bug me, people. They go and they start traveling to the Quidditch World Cup, and they meet Cedric Diggory and his dad Amos Diggory on the way. And for some reason, Cedric
Thanks for
Diggory,
clarifying that.
Cedric Diggory jumps out of a tree. I don't know why, but that always sticks out to me. So then we're at the Quidditch World Cup.
Wait a minute. Is this? I gotta pause life for just a hot second.
It's this is when they
Is
go through the
this
portal.
redone by the Christopher Columbus fella,
Oh
or is
no.
this by the same movie maker that is number three, or is this a whole new ass situation?
This is a new director, Mike Newell. So Chris Columbus did the first two, and then three and four are two different directors who just do one each, and then the last movies from here are out, they're all by the same guy.
That
So,
helps me because it feels wicked different than number three.
yeah, it feels a lot different. And like just the layout of the school and stuff kind of feels different, and all that kind of stuff. And the hairstyles are just insane.
Oh, it's terrible.
And this was the biggest book to come out at this point, and so they crushed
Is
the
this
world.
the one where they were had the dance?
Yep, the Yule Ball. So already, like, so what I love about, I really like this book because you get like to see more of the Wizarding World. So you're at the Quidditch World Cup and you get to see like the cool tent. In the book, obviously, there's more where like the girls have a separate tent, like that doesn't matter, but like they walk around and they see all the people, and it's just, you even see like people from America, USA represent. So this all is still in England, but they just port key to a different location, or in the UK, I guess it's not technically England, to go watch this.
So I thought they went through a portal to get there.
So they go through a port key, or they don't go through. They use a port key, which travels them to a different location, but it's not like it's not
Okay,
taking them to
gotcha.
a different world. It's another way to travel, like the flu powder. So the Quidditch World Cup, that happens. It's really played down in the movie. In the book, it's so different. Like they're in the same box as Malfoy. There's a whole nother freaking character who go named Bagman, who's like an old Quidditch player who's in charge of like doing the Triwizard Cup, and he's in charge of all this stuff, but he's kind of a crazy. But they kind of just like combine him and Crouch, and it's annoying. But anyway, Ron's dad gets them in the top box in the book. And so they're actually like have really good seats and all this stuff. And then in the book, there's another house elf named Winky, who is Crouch's house elf, who plays like a huge role in all this. And they wipe her out, and it makes me sad for the house
Oh, I
elf.
was like, I don't even know her,
I know, and
but
it's sad.
I've only done the movies before, not the book.
But anyway, so they do the Quidditch World Cup, and then that night, while people are celebrating, the Death Eaters come in.
Those f-ing Death Eaters can just take a big cup of suck it and go away.
So yeah, then so they ruin the camp, and then Harry ends up on his own, and he loses his wand, and someone puts up the dark mark. So, any questions about why they're doing this, or why what the dark mark is, anything like that?
It's been a minute. But I can recall, as you're saying, that suddenly we went from World Cup to like the darkest scenes of
Yeah, and
yuck.
he was like laying on the
It's
ground.
like,
I
whoa,
got a lot
like,
of questions, but I gotta catch up. So I'm gonna a
yeah.
lot of questions.
Watch the movie and we'll talk, Jen. Yeah, so the dark mark
I
represents like
don't get the dark mark thing. Like, I don't get that.
so
Just.
you get like the Death Eaters are basically like his minions, and they're making the first appearance literally since Voldemort died. So this is like a big deal. In the book, they're literally torturing the Muggle family who runs the camp. It's really like it's a kind of a sick scene. It's really sad. Like
Yeah.
it's still a children's book, so it's understated, but it's really sad. Like they're like flipping them
What,
around.
so hold on. What is the difference between the Dementors and the Death Eaters?
The Death Eaters are like people, actual wizards. Dementors are like gross
Energy. Are those
entity.
the things that suck your soul out?
Yes.
Okay.
Dementors are the soul suckers,
So
which is called a yuck kiss.
Malfoy's dad was a really prominent Death Eater, and I mean, and I'm sure in the movie, but in the book, he's a Death Eater again. So They're, to me, it's like the KKK. Like they're doing all these horrible things. They attack muggles, all this kind of stuff. So the Dark Mark represented back in the day when Voldemort was like running around doing all stuff, when
Wait
they
a
killed
minute.
someone, they would put the dark mark in the sky so you knew that someone died at the hands of Voldemort or the in or in like his name, basically.
Oh.
So putting that up was like caused so much fear in people, you know, because all these people are like, oh, you know, when Harry was a baby, Voldemort went away and he had been like killing people and destroying lives. And so this was like the first sign that like at least his, not necessarily he's back, but at least his like people are causing problems. So that happens. They at first think it might be Harry because it's like his wand, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they're going to school, right? And at school now, so they just had the World Cup, big deal. And now the Triwizard tournament is announced. So
And then
Dumbledore,
I fell asleep.
yes.
That's
And
where I
it's a
fell asleep.
competition between three schools. Two schools will be coming to visit. In the movie, it happens right away. It doesn't happen like that in the book. And then
Oh.
also in the movie, like Rachel's, for some reason, during the book, both schools are male and female. But for some reason, in the movie, they made one school all males and one school. I do the opposite sex in those countries get to be wizards and witches. I don't know.
I have to say, like, this movie in particular, because I've now watched four, which we're summarizing now, but I've also watched and read five. So, this movie in particular, like, in comparison to one, two, and three specifically, feels like they leaned really far into he's post-puberty or in puberty. Like, all these friends are like, it is so sexually charged that, like, it is. I mean, it just is. It's so weird. It's like he can't even be in the hot pool without having to move his bubbles because somebody wants to look at his wiener. It's like,
A ghost swept.
right. But it's just like, I mean, when they broke the people up into girls' school, boys' school, it's like, okay, macho f-ing furry people. And then like chic dress blue bitches. I mean,
Well, and this.
it's a lot of sex. So here's what comes from that question. I'm sorry to pause us to do this, but like, you know how in your life, Jane, this is like as a reader in real time, watcher as they come out, kind of like Harry Potter thing. You have talked about how like these two are your childhood, then these two are like weird, and then there's these three that are like grown as you're grown or whatever. When you're presenting Harry Potter as like a whole story, meaning like all the books or all the movies, what age is appropriate? Because like, people are fixing to be dying. They are like moving bubbles over a boner. They're like,
It's not like obvious, I don't think. Like, I think,
just
yeah,
as a mom, I'm watching, like, holy mackerel, look at this happening.
I think it's what I don't, it's like Shrek. I mean, I don't know if this is a good example. It's like you watch Shrek as a kid and a lot of things go over your head. You watch Shrek
Got
as an
it.
adult
Okay.
and
Yeah.
you're
Fair
like,
enough.
oh
Yeah.
my God.
Well,
Like,
all those kid movies always have like little innuendos in them.
it's
So it's
just been
like,
so
but you.
innocent to that point. So like it just feels like they're shoving puberty down my throat. Like that's
Yeah.
all, and that's what I meant about sex. It's like gender. Like, I mean, it is like
Well, I guess
serious.
it could see, but I think it's the age of the kids. So the kids that are watching are,
Yeah.
well, it's like
You
he's
know.
14. So 14-year-old kids are kind of perverts, especially boys. So yeah, and I mean the that Moaning
But I
Myrtle.
hear what you're saying. Like if I was to let Celia, a 9-year-old, watch this movie, watch the Harry Potters, she wouldn't be seeing the same things that I'm seeing as like a grown-ass
And
person.
also
Like morning.
you gotta look at the age of like them to really be like, I don't know if a lot of 8 or 9 year olds would have the attention span to watch that whole movie either, or like really understand everything that's going on in that movie,
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
But it's definitely pushing like the awkward teenage years, like the dance, all that stuff, like the awkward growing up, which is like kind of, 'cause
Real.
you grow up with Harry. So it's like, even whatever age you're in, like this is the stage that Harry's at. And it's like also kind of sweet 'cause he has these major things happening in his life, but he's still just a boy going through puberty and growing up, you know?
Yeah.
And
That
then
whole
also another
dance,
thing.
it makes me like just my heart bleed for him. Like,
I feel bad for the girls.
well, yeah, but I
Anyway.
mean, everybody, it's just like painful. Like, oh God, middle schoolish.
So Fleur, who's the she's the girl that gets picked from Beau Baton. She's the champion for their school. So at the, tell me if I if they show this in the movie, at the World Cup thing, they have these girl dancers called Vilas, and the boys get like memorized by them. Does that happen in the movie? Or do they just show the leprechauns.
don't think so at all. If it does, I would have just like mentally put those as cheerleaders and not known what was happening.
Okay. So there's these girls, they're called Vila, and they like, I mean, it's almost like being a siren. They have like this power within them when they like, I don't know necessarily even if they dance, but if they turn on this charm, boys are like memorized by it. And like Ron almost jumps out the top box because he's so like enamored by these girls. And so Fleur, who's this, who's that champion, she's half Vila, like her mom's Vila or something. So she kind of has, so she can turn on that charm or whatever. But anyway, that's another thing that happens that's really like, okay, calm down with the hormones here. Like, and poor Ron.
Yeah.
And she ends up marrying Ron's older brother, but that happens later.
Oh, I didn't realize that was that same girl.
Okay, so Dumbledore, the other kids from the school come in, they're doing their little show. The kids from Hogwarts sing, which I think is only in the extended edition. It's just kind of funny. And then they announce the Goblet of Fire. And we talked about that. So how that works, because we're some confusion. Each school, 17 and up, which is a new rule. They had this tournament a long time ago and they stopped doing it because kids were getting hurt. It's pretty dangerous.
They should have kept with that.
So they brought it back for the first time ever, but they put a new rule in that only 17 and up can do it. So Harry and Ron and like the twins and everything are out. They're not supposed to be able to do it. But somehow, but the whole like all the boys are trying to sneak in, or just in general, people want to try to get it, but they can't. And you see the example of the boys, the twins get like kicked out and they grow beards or whatever. Harry's name somehow gets put in there and as a fourth champion, and it comes out of the Goblet of Fire. And by the rules of the Goblet of Fire, if your name comes out, you have to compete.
Like,
Again,
period.
I
That's
don't
stronger than any other thing.
I guess so.
God
Dumbledore's
dang it.
supposed to be like the greatest wizard ever. He couldn't stop this. I also don't see why they couldn't just have Harry go through the motions, but him not necessarily actually be competing, you know, like, hey, show up for this tournament, like fly or walk towards the dragon and then run back. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. False start him every time is
And
what
a lot of book readers, this is the worst thing to most book readers, is Dumbledore's reaction at Harry. He gets in Harry's face and he's like, did you put your name in? And like,
Yeah.
that is not how Dumbledore is. And in the book, it's like, he's just more confused and concerned about this happening, but he's like mean and aggressive. Anyway, it's like, I
I
just
slept through that part.
had to
They're
bring that up
also
for the
like
other readers.
aggressive, like adult to adult. It's like a big effing deal. It's like,
Yes. So it
and
is a
then everybody thinks like, oh, you should be able to protect him and whatever. And I mean, I think they do in certain ways. It's like, hey, there's fixing to be a dragon fight. Hey, there's fixing to be this like death
which they're
command.
not supposed to do, but the adults sneak and help them. But that's also where Moody comes in. So Moody is the new teacher at the school. He knows Dumbledore from the past. He's just kind of a weird, creepy guy. But Harry like comes to rely on him, and he's like helpful and you know
Yeah,
whatever. So that's
those Defender of the Dark Art teaches.
true.
I am serious.
So
We don't
Harry
even have to know
has
about
to
the curse.
compete,
That shit is terrible.
and the other like headmasters and headmistress from their school are pissed because like the whole it's like an honor for the school to win, and so if Hogwarts has two champions in, that's not fair when they only get one.
Oh, yeah.
And then the first task comes, and before the first task, Hagrid sneaks Harry to go see what it is, and it's dragons.
Oh,
So this is what
yes.
happened to me. I woke up and Ron and Harry are in a fight, and I was like, what is happening?
Oh yeah. So Ron was mad at Harry because he thought Harry snuck his name in somehow and didn't like let Ron in on it for Ron to try.
And I found Edward. That's like, I woke up and was like, is that Edward? Because I didn't recognize him in the beginning of the movie for whatever reason. And Ron was mad. So I was like, I don't know how long I slept for, but I seem like I missed a lot.
Ron can be a little whiny, mopey, but I also feel for Ron because, you know, his best friend gets all the attention all the time.
He's a sheep in the shadow.
So there's a first task. Harry learns how he summons his broom and gets past the dragon, and then they have the Yule Ball, which is all that drama. It's the first inkling you get of like Hermione Ron awkwardness. Did you guys pick up on that?
Yeah.
She goes with Victor Crumb, who's like uber popular because he's a professional Quidditch player, and then Ron.
Which I was like, yuck. If you're a professional Quidditch player, are you a grown ass man? And is this girl 14?
No, he's
No.
not. He's like a really young Quidditch player, but I do think he's like 17,
Oh.
18, and she's 14.
Yeah, ew.
Yeah.
But also whatever.
I'll keep my judgments to myself since I'm not one to talk.
And then Harry's a little hot on Cho Chang, who goes to the dance with Cedric. Ron and Harry basically ignore their dates, which is really mean and sad because they're both so jealous.
Right, this is what I was confused about. Who are these twins?
So those twins are in the, I mean, they're not in the book a ton, but they're side characters. There's two. They're twins who go to Hogwarts. One is in Gryffindor house and one is in a different house, even though they're twins.
But I thought he had to go with the other person from the other school.
No. Why? He didn't have to go with, no.
That's what the teacher said.
I don't think she said, I think
maybe
it was just
she, like, maybe they just had a dance or coming together or something. I don't know. I was confused.
No, I think she just meant each of the champions had to open the dance by dancing first. It didn't necessarily mean they had
to. Oh, okay. Gotcha. That makes sense.
They're the Patil twins. And
yeah, because he wanted to ask that other girl, but she already had a date, right? Oh, he did ask her.
She had Cedric, yeah. Because he has a crush on her. And then Hermione comes looking all pretty, and that's the first time Ron, like, sees her as a girl.
And I think it's hysterical the outfit his mother sent him.
Yes, oh, my God. That is, like, I kept so joking middle school. And I was like, it's just horrifying.
I was like, you're wearing that to the wedding.
That feels like the biggest ass deal ever. Harry and his friends handle such big things. I mean, they've, like, protected all the Wizards of Life for every single effing movie. But it turns out they're just, like, humans going through friggin' puberty. It's terrible, you know?
Still sucks. So at the first task, Harry gets the egg from the dragon, and that's the clue to the second task. So that's when he ends up... So what he's in is Cedric. So basically, Harry finds out that all the other champions have figured out it was dragons with the first task. So he tells Cedric. So Cedric helps him out with the second task by letting him use the prefect bathroom, which is this giant bath. I don't know if that means, are they supposed to, is it one at a time? Do multiple? I don't get it. Why is the bath?
I can answer that because I just listened to Princess Diana's brother's book about this prefect situation and like the bathing within boarding schools is crazy. They basically have like communal situations, and you first take like a dunk in water at this real life situation, which was like in the 70s, so not awesome. They like take a dunk in the water to get the muds off, then they like wait in a second line or situation for a turn to take a shower
naked.
Naked, I mean, not awesome in the Harry in the real life, but like, so it makes sense to me now, this like, oh, it's a boarding school. They all have to take a bath there. It's not like my thought of school is so effing different than what you do at school. Like I was like, oh, there's showers in my school because we had a pool. Oh,
well, I'm dumb. Oh, I thought it was a pool. So that shows that I know.
But it looks, I would have thought the thing if I hadn't read the book. So that's a prefect bath. So he basically figured, and then Moaning Myrtle's there trying to be pervy and catch a glimpse.
Curious.
So he's trying to figure out this egg, and then he once he opens the egg underwater, he figures out that his next task is, he figures out the next task going into the lake and rescuing something that's really important to him. So that task, so in the book, like, he's trying to figure out how to breathe underwater, basically, to get to save the thing. And while he's Ron and Hermione are helping him, and then Professor McGonagall sends someone to come get Ron and Hermione. So they disappear and Harry's on his own figuring out. And then eventually he falls asleep and Dobby's the one who gives him that thing that Neville gives him in the movie that he swallows. It's just called gillweed, and it helps him breathe underwater. So he serves up the task and that's when he gets to the bottom of the lake, that's when he figures out he's supposed to rescue something that he loves. And his is Ron Weasley. In the book, Dobby says, you have to get your Weasley. You have to get your Weasley. And Harry doesn't understand it. And it's Ron Weasley. And it's really cute that he calls him Weasley. Anyway.
That's so cute.
But then he rescues two people. And they're like, oh, thank you so much for saving our daughter. So that's why my question was like, they just let the other people die? Like,
so
I don't understand.
In the book, so the whole point of the task is that you have to save the person you love or they'll be lost. That's the little poem that, or whatever the egg says. So Harry, as a 14-year-old boy, takes that very literally. So he realizes that Fleur is not going to get there in time. And so he saves her sister as well as who is her person. He gets out of the water and then Hermione's like, why'd you do like all the, and he's like, I didn't want her to die. And they're like, they wouldn't have really let them die. So that's the whole thing. It's like, they were under a spell. They wouldn't have really died. But in his 14-year-old mind, he took it really literally. In the movie, they like, Fleur kind of took it literally too. So she's super grateful that he saved her sister.
And the mother.
But not in the mom and stuff is in the book doing that. Cause the adults all would have been like, oh, they're not gonna, they would have let her, them take the younger daughter.
At first, you know what I thought at first? I thought it was Ron and Hermione. Like,
Well,
those are the two
Hermione's
people.
down there. She was Crumb's person, so he rescued her though.
But no, I
Which,
thought that's what I thought it was going to be. He almost had a pick between them.
oh, ooh, that would have been good.
Move over, JK.
I'm like, I don't get this. They're just gonna let them all die into the water and drown. Like, this doesn't make any
Well, they
fucking
wouldn't
sense.
have really, but that was just kind of like the stakes of the challenge. But they,
Yeah,
Harry
no,
took.
it makes sense now.
Within the movie, I'm not sure about the book, but within the movie, there's all this like cultural knowledge, not necessarily said point blank to anybody, but like in the like undercurrent of school that you could die about this challenge. Like
Yes.
there was all this like super, you need to be like, you need to have all these spells, like it's going to challenge you like no other test could. To me, the whole thing felt like everybody's going to freaking die. Like by the time, well, okay, carry on.
So in the history of this tournament, students have died and they eventually stopped doing it because so many students had died, which is kind of insane to think about. So when they brought it back a little safer, kind of, but still like the stakes are really high and it really is a test, like it's doing magic that like most, kids can't do, but the older kids should, be able to come up with the ways to come up with, and they're not supposed to get help or anything, but all the schools kind of cheat and help because they want to be the
Well,
champ.
in the thing of it was that this magic was like more advanced magic than Harry has learned how to do yet.
Right.
Especially for Harry because he's so much younger. He's only a fourth year.
But the truth of the matter is he made an effing Patronus in another movie. So come on, okay.
And he's had to battle
The
stuff.
trolls, like everybody.
So Rita Skeeter comes to write like this article about Harry. I really
That
like her.
bitch. I love her.
She's a lot
Wait.
like in the book, the actress did
I
really
don't
well.
remember that part.
So
She's
she's like
the
the one.
journalist that's like scheming, and she's like definitely works for the Oh yeah.
Inquirer.
I do remember. I remember now.
Like in the book, it's like sad. Like she writes an article about it and doesn't even mention Cedric. So Cedric's dad's like pissed because Harry keeps getting all this
Oh.
attention when Cedric's like the true champion. And so, but she really like makes things sound, dramatizes things. She's like the
Yeah,
TMZ.
and she's doing like, oh,
TMZ
these
for
people
sure. Yeah.
dating.
Yeah.
She tells everyone that he's dating Hermione, and then Victor gets all weird about it because he's like, "You're dating Hermione?" And Harry's like, "No, I'm not dating Hermione." Like, she just makes up all this stuff, and she writes an article about it. And then the third task comes. I'm skipping through a lot of things if you guys want to talk about anything that happens in between. Just hitting the
I
big.
will say by now, we know for sure as a Rachie that Ron's mom is the thing of gold. Like she shines in this movie as like a protector, like Ron's mom. I
Yeah,
mean.
so in the book, and I think it kind of happens in the movie too, but Harry's, so all the champions before the third task, their families come to see them, and Harry's just hanging out because he's like, oh, I don't, the Dursleys aren't coming. And then someone comes to get him and they're like, hey, your family's here or whatever, your people are here. And he's like, the Dursleys came or whatever. And he goes in the room and I'm actually kind of crying. Molly's standing there. Like the Weasleys came to be his family, which is really sweet because it's like
Yeah.
one of the few times like Harry doesn't have actually crying. Harry doesn't, have like family, and so like she shows up for him and it's really sweet.
It is so dangled. Like his need for unconditional love is so dangled throughout every movie, and it's just as heartbreaking as the next time
Yeah.
or the last time. Like, God dang, what's that fella's name? That's like the Godfather.
Serious.
Yes.
Makes a promise and like then doesn't take him home for the summer. It's like heartbreak all the time.
Yeah.
And then Ron Weasley's mom is there.
You gotta love Molly. Oh, and for a while though, the funny thing about Molly is she kind of believes Rita Skeeter's article that like Hermione broke Harry's heart, and she's like a little mean to Hermione. So she sends everyone else like an Easter egg, and she sends Hermione like a small crap one. It's kind of funny. But and then by now, Ron and Harry have made up and all that stuff because Ron really believes him after all, like the craziness of these challenges and stuff. And there's that scene, this happens way early on in the movie, but Moody with Neville, it's like the first time you get a hint. Neville's uber affected by this curse Moody does on
Right.
this spider in front of him. And so that kind of plants a thing that you find out in the fifth book and about Neville. But Moody also kind of uses Neville, who we find out Moody's not really Moody, to help Harry, or tries in the book, he tries to tell Neville to help Harry, and Neville doesn't quite figure it out. But in the book, in the movie, he does. The book he does it, in the movie he does.
It's so funny. My note says Moody, that mother. Like, I was so mad at him. I was so mad at him. And then just to jump back to our other podcast episodes. We've had aggression in my house so much that my one eye turned in. All I could think is, I look like Moody right now. I look like Moody right now.
I don't want to laugh at your things, but that
is like... terrible.
Okay, then the third task is this maze. Again, obviously in the book, there's so much more to the maze and like all this stuff, but they have to get through the maze and like go through all these like different things. There's like a riddle. There's like all stuff in the book. It's just kind of like they're walking through an actual maze. But the point is to get to the end, to get to a port key, which is what we were talking about earlier, which just kind of like travels you somewhere else. Oh, okay. Sorry. That's wrong. In the movie, they're just supposed to get to the trophy. When Cedric and Harry get to the trophy, they grab it and it is a port key. It was not supposed to be a port key. So someone...
That's where they make it into this dark... Okay. Okay.
So Harry ends up at this graveyard. Cedric is immediately killed by Wormtail, which is very sad because it's a 17-year-old boy.
Also, like, I thought he was going to be alive by the time it came back.
Even in the book, like, you read it and you, because this is the first, I mean, this is like the first death. And like, as a kid reading it, they're like, okay, it's like Harry's going to get to him. Anyway, it's like heart-wrenching. But what's happening here is Voldemort and Wormtail and the Death Eaters are there and they need Harry's blood because basically,
oh, yes,
is the reason Voldemort's dead, to bring Voldemort back to life. Basically, I mean, he's alive, but he's just like
energy.
Yeah. I mean, he is something, like this little thing that has to be carried around and stuff. But so they're able to get that from Harry because like they hold him up and Harry's able to escape. He basically battles Voldemort and kind of, and wins at least long enough to get away, and he's able to grab Cedric and the port key. And it's really sad in the book
because didn't his like mom come back to like give, buy them time or something?
Oh, yes. Okay, sorry. So I'm skipping so much over. So yeah, they like spell at each other, and through the spell, whatever Harry does back at him makes Voldemort's wand like regurgitate the last few spells. And so the guy who killed at the beginning of the movie comes back, and then Harry's mom, she comes back and she like tells Harry to be strong and to keep doing it. It's not really her, it's like her spirit kind of a thing. And that helps Harry. You're right, Kimmy. Sorry. I'm racing through. I don't know. In the book, it's like such a big leap. Like a lot of big things happen in three, but this is like huge and so much darker. And so Voldemort's back, and then Harry returns to Hogwarts to like the maze thing with Cedric's body. And it's just the saddest thing ever when Cedric's dad.
Oh,
I know. That's terrible.
There goes Edward. Team Jacob.
I know. I'm like, Edward.
I was like, freaking put on your goddamn necklace, Hermione. Like, why can't you just use your tools?
I know. Okay. So the necklace part, that's well, and I will say, I think that's part of the time turning, that you can't bring people back to life. And I don't know. Like,
well, also, how would she get through the portal and all that stuff? That was just...
She doesn't have that anymore. So that went back to the Ministry of Magic after she wasn't using that anymore. So it wasn't even like...
I just mean like...
But it's like that...
Otherwise you have to have all this conflict because otherwise there's no book. But like...
Yeah, I know.
So mad, you know?
Well, and JK has said at some point that she doesn't completely regret the time turner, but she kind of regrets introducing it because... that is like a lot of like people can just go, well, why don't they just use a time turner and like go back and make sure he's really dead, or you know.
Or I also feel like that about the cloak. I'm like, why don't they use the cloak for this? Like, why don't they use the cloak for this?
I will say in the book they use the cloak way more, but yeah, like so Moody grabs Harry after all this to like take him in the castle, you think to like help him, and then it's revealed that he is not Moody. Moody has been in a trunk this whole time. Getting and his
they
hair.
They use that potion that they use.
The poly. Yep. So he's been posing, and it's really Crouch's son, who was a Death Eater, who wanted to bring back Voldemort. And he actually thinks he's like the most important. He hates all the other Death Eaters who like didn't go to jail because he's like doesn't think they were devoted enough. But he's the one who put Harry's name in the Goblet of Fire. He was helping Harry get through it because he wanted Harry to be the champion to grab onto that port key to go to be with Voldemort. It was kind of just like happened that Harry
like a big, huge setup, basically.
Yes.
Oh, it just happened that I never got that from the movie.
So oh, you didn't?
I never tied the whole ass thing together with like this Barney Crouch Jr. stupid yeah. asshole.
Yeah. So he disguised himself as, I mean, but remember how the guy kept taking drinks? Like you almost thought he was an alcoholic or whatever.
Well, that's what I thought about Moody. I'm like, just cool your tits. What's your.
It was that potion keeping him in disguise. Because you know how it wears off.
Moody was Barney Crouch Jr. the whole time with the polyjuice potion.
Got it. He was like in a body takeover.
Do they show the memories in the thing?
Yes, yes.
Like the trial and everything? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When he goes
and so.
Oh, do you mean this kind of, did they show the memory? That looks like a reverse taser and then you can see in the bowl?
In the pensive, yeah.
Got it.
Barney Jr. is like doing the tongue thing that I always do, but where it comes in 2 weeks now.
it's Slytherin.
Podcast
listeners, there's a lot of like little baby tongue slip going on here.
And so they're like holding him because they want to like give him truth serum or whatever to tell the truth about what he's done and the fact that Voldemort's like back. And when they like go away to talk to Harry or something, a Dementor gets there and sucks out his soul. So you can never fully. The truth will like never fully comes out, like what really happened and that he was responsible for it all. But I don't know. So much more happens in the book.
And Harry kind of like predicted it or whatever, had a vision of that when they're in the house. Didn't know what they were talking about, but that's what they were kind of, it's assumed that that's what they were putting into motion.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that was their whole big plan and all that stuff to get Harry, that they needed that from Harry. So they did all this stuff. So yeah, the book ends, basically Harry gets the money, he goes and talks to the Diggorys, and it's really sad, and he tries to give them the money that he won, because him and Cedric technically wanted to win together, that was the whole thing, so it's like, it's just really sad.
Well, it's really sad, because if he was like, shit, and didn't do that, he wouldn't have died.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if Harry wasn't a good person.
Yeah, if he had just gone and done it. So yeah, any questions about all that? That's basically the movie. I mean, I jumped through a lot of the movie, but so much more. It's such a.
But it's like one of those movies where like things, when you're like, oh, that's why you kept taking the sips of the drink. It's like it all kind of clicked.
Yeah,
I feel like that too. It's like you're getting this discovery. It didn't feel like an ending of this movie. Like I remember feeling like, oh god dang it, what the hell just happened? Because it's like.
Me too.
You're sowing the seeds that were planted so long ago, or like it's these little things that like all lead into one another that like, again, I didn't even realize was the whole scheme. How do you just touch this god dang thing and then you show up in this death valley and then and then they trapped his ass with the statue? Like it just made me so mad and I was just confused. Like it just felt like a bunch of injustice and then it's like over. And he's the winner. And like, it's just sadness. It didn't feel like a climax or like a resolve as much as it was just like.
I think this is the one I felt like it was kind of cut short almost.
Yeah. Like, and also like, what? What?
They should all be 5 hour long movies. I don't know.
Obviously.
I don't think it was the timing of the movie. I just think it was the pacing of the way they did things. It was almost like.
So rushed.
Yeah. Like, and then you're like, oh, like. I don't know. Also, yeah. I slept for 40 minutes, so maybe that's what made me feel like that.
But like 90% of that movie was like planting the seed that happened like in a whisper for the last 8 minutes, it felt like.
So I'm going to give you guys like a few more things that happened in the book that like are kind of cool or like interesting that not in the movie. So Winky. So what happens in the book is Winky is Barty Crouch Sr.'s elf, house elf, and she is in charge of taking care of Barty Crouch Jr., who they have escaped basically from prison. The wife, his wife in real had died in real life, and they put her body in there so that the Dementors, because they can't really see, they could sense her body, so they sensed she was dead, but he really snuck out Barty Crouch Jr. So this elf is like keeping track of him. She's the one who like they think does the dark mark and all this stuff, but anyway, she ends up working at Hogwarts with Dobby. So you find out that Dobby had been looking for work because, you know, he
got freed from the sock.
He got freed from the sock. But he, sweet little Dobby, decided that he wanted to start being paid, and because house elves are basically slaves. So as Hermione learns more about house elves, I think this reminds me of Jen Dunn. So Hermione starts this thing called Spew, which is all about freeing elves. It's elf liberations. And she's like trying to free all the house elves at Hogwarts. She like
She
hides little
learns to knit, Jen, and she like makes all these elf things. She's like, here's a sock, here's a scarf, here's a hat, here's a shirt.
so that the elves will accidentally pick them up and be freed on accident. But the elves are pissed because they, besides Dobby, they want to work. They
I
want
thought
to.
they showered a lot. I thought that's where you're going with that. I got excited for a
Yeah.
second. Okay. All
But she's
right.
like trying
All
to
right.
save them, like just her little. She gets on this whole thing about the whole time, and she ends up, she says she's gonna fast until they free the elves, and then she gives up like day two because it's not gonna help.
Because
But
that
it's
sucks.
really sweet of like.
So, but Dobby is in it because he's the one that's wearing like 54 hats because he
But
ends
is
up taking
Dobby
off.
in the movie?
Wait, am I confusing five then? Because does she knit all the hats in goddamn four?
So maybe she starts doing, maybe she does that in five, but it's the pleat, the seeds get
Like
planted
she
first.
develops skew there.
Yes. Okay. So yes.
You.
Okay. So and then Rita Skeeter, which this does happen kind of in the movie, they find out that she's been figuring all this out because she's really what we were talking about, an animagus, and she was a little beetle and she would get in like listen to people's conversations, and that she was figuring out all these things she should.
Oh,
And
that
then,
is not shown in the movie at all. That is
okay.
interesting.
I was gonna say, I don't remember that part.
Okay, I do have it on my list. That only happened in the book, so but I'm just confused with where I'm right or not. But it's kind of messed up. So Hermione figures this out because she's really like ruining Hermione in a lot of ways because she's like saying all this stuff. So Hermione figures out she's a beetle. She catches her and she keeps her in a jar and she like basically threatens this grown woman. But like, dang, Hermione.
Oh my God.
Then I talked about Ludo Bagman's a character that who's not really in the movie at all. Hagrid like creates these magical creatures that are in the maze at the end that they have to fight, which are called Blast-Ended Scroots, and it's kind of funny. They kind of are in the movie, I think, or they're mentioned, but it's like a bigger deal. And then there's a pensive scene. There's more pensive scenes like that
Is
brain.
that the teaser brain? Oh, got it.
But that's just some of the differences. But my biggest thing is like I'm sad that Dobby and Winky and stuff really aren't in it. I love a house elf. I've got problems.
They generally make me sad, and five made that worse.
Yeah, it's sad.
Do you want to hear my notes that legit don't mean shit to me until like even after summarizing this? It says JK Grow, Harry in the Maze, a date, death for the first time, Ron's mom hearts. Barney Crouch Jr., middle finger emoji, which I drew. Why is the rat back? Snape, and then it says expletives. It says Snape mofo, and then I did like the Harry Potter scar, like the lightning bolt next to that. Death Eater question mark? Naughty or nice? Still. I've been pissed at Snape the whole time.
No, my notes are better, guys. Lord V in beginning, World Q game, Triwizard competition. That's it. I fell asleep.
Like total goddamn deceit. Like Harry Potter spelt backwards must mean like me over because he's just like they just dangle love in front of him constantly. It makes me so sad. But then there's these beautiful moments like Harry's mom or the friendship rekindling. But like everything, it just feels so goddamn misunderstood. Oh my God, I cannot wait to talk about five. Five is the one where I was so invested in this thing. Like this concept for that we're doing, like watch the movies, review them. And I was so sick and tired of hearing all the details that I'm missing because I'm not reading the book, I'm just watching the movies, that I bought the goddamn books. And I got the fifth book on download. Then I was gifted the first book. So now I like watched, listened, I'm totally in. I mean, I bought a freaking Hufflepuff shirt. I mean, that's what
She's
Dobby
in.
bought.
She's a Potter.
I will say, just to harken back to a Table for Five episode from years ago, I once told you guys that I think my spirit animal was a chestnut horse.
You did.
I did. And when I retook the what's it
Patronus.
called? Patronus, I got
I
a freaking
still cannot
horse.
find them.
You got a
I still
horse?
can. Yeah, I did. Listen, if you guys are still listening, you should be watching these Harry Potters with us. Even if you're too old like I was or whatever.
And me. I'm
Yeah.
not gonna
We
lie,
have
I am shocked how well these episodes are doing. You guys are listening with us. You're champs. are listening to us. I think at the end of this, we should all go to Harry Potter World together. Harry Potter World, please hit play for us to go to Harry Potter World together. And you guys will enjoy it so much more.
Yeah, that'll be our meetup.
So thanks everyone for joining us and following along. If you have any input, let us know. Email us at talklikeamotherpodcast@gmail.com or comment on our social media or message us there. We love it all. We'll catch you guys on Monday for a Storytellers episode. And yeah, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Talk Like a Mother Parenting Autism podcast. If you are enjoying our podcast, make sure to rate and review us wherever you listen. And if you'd like to support us, you can become a subscriber. Just check out the description of this episode. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram for more content, and we'll see you next time.